Course in Miracles is a very personal, venture that you're on. It's so personal that, you know, there's two types of enlightenment, two types of awakening that this book covers that I'm aware of. I don't know if there's more, but I've only come up with two from my own experience and from my study of enlightenment through other pathways. I can see clearly that there really are two types of enlightenment. One is personal enlightenment, where you, as a separate individual, become more aware. You become first informed that it's possible to be more, say, peaceful, patient, kind. You don't have to fight. And it's better for you if you don't. It's better for you to be compassionate. Even as you defend now, your defense is no longer an attack. But you're defending you. You're still making your life better. You're making your personal situation better, which is really great, of course, because now you have the capacity first to be loved and then to love. So if your person is not enlightened, not awakened at all, it's fully ego, fully separate, then you're in attack defense mode with very conditional rest, very conditional peace, very conditional relationships, special relationships. It's limiting, but you can make it better. And hey, better is better. Never knock it. Even 10% better might be the difference at that level between life and death, between trying and suicide. Just 10%. But as it goes, as human being works, addiction is part of the brain pattern that we are set up with. So, and I don't mean just drugs. I mean anything. Are you addicted to your Netflix show? Are you addicted to, you know, once you get it, you get a car with good suspension and it's quiet when you drive? Did that happen to you? You ever got a newer car and found out, wow, it's so quiet? I mean, I did. Work my way up from the Volkswagen Beetle to my Camaro. And then I got myself into a marketing job in Silicon Valley and I got a Corvette. That was louder in one way than another, and then it got quieter as I got to newer and better cars. And I thought, oh, it's just so peaceful. I don't think I want to drive these loud cars anymore. Just didn't want to. It became a habit now to be more comfortable. So you will choose things that bring you peace and happiness, whether it's a food that agrees with you and one that doesn't, a food that doesn't agree with you, you will choose not to eat. For clearly obvious personal selfish, but hey, you know, life's better when you eat the right foods or sleep at the right time or drink enough water, et cetera, et cetera. So naturally, you're inclined, if you do have a breakthrough where you find a way to be more peaceful in the difficulties of the world and just have a better life, even if it's a bunch of self-help books that most of us are probably weeded through, from Seven Highly Habits of Successful People and all the way up through Byron Katie. It's a self-help book. It's how, or to Buddhism, through Buddhism. It's just how to live better. How to live better. It makes it possible for you to be loved and for you to love. Possible. Remember, if you're angry and you're afraid, and if you have a low self-worth or self-strength or low consistency, you can't count on yourself, then you really have a hard time accepting love from somebody else. They won't admit it, you think, but if they only knew you, they really couldn't love you. But then, you know, eventually you get older and you start to choose things that make you happy, and you become a stronger person and you start to feel like you are lovable. Maybe you start to balance your life out more and you decide that you are lovable. You can start to receive it and accept it, and you can give it. You can give love. A lot of people will be able to give love before they can receive it. It's just not a bad routine. I think it's a type of enlightenment itself. It's personal enlightenment. It does make for a better life in this world. The self-help books are great for it. Getting yourself a good appreciation of the differences of others is good for it. How many people have studied the Enneagram, for example? About less. Oh yeah, so about half of us. Or some of these other personality things, like the zodiac. The types of it spells out the different types of ego. And you study the Enneagram, or you study the Myers-Briggs, or the Zodiac, or there's probably four or five others. And you say, well, that's my mother, that's my brother, that's my wife, that's me. And there's a little comfort comes in there. And now you can not go to judgment so quickly when somebody behaves as you expect. It's better. It's better. It's 10, 20% better. It's good enough for a whole lifetime here. It's better. Take it. Fast, quick. Have happier relationships, happier workplace. Stop demanding things of yourself you weren't built for or others. Wow, it's dynamite, right? Good stuff. Good stuff. And that's personal. That's a pathway of personal enlightenment. A Course in Miracles is loaded with it. Trying to help you stop hurting yourself. Trying to help you recognize where your suffering comes from. It makes a better life. It makes a better relationship, makes you a better worker, gives you better sleep. It's better. It's better. Better for me. All along the way. A few percent every year. I was like, wow, I'm going to do this book again. And I did. And I did. And I read some other books along the way and just travel off to India here. And better, better still. Then at some point on my journey, anybody here knows what I'm talking about, please pipe in. There's another level of enlightenment. Enlightenment means understanding. It means understanding. It's such a gross word, you know. All it means is that you are clearer and you understand. Your mind now holds more truth today than yesterday. Everybody here is on a continuum of enlightenment, and I don't think it ever ends. It can't, because you are actually a creator creating yourself in eternity. It'll never be done. There's no done. Don't worry about that. There's no being bored and being done or finished. So there is a whole nother level, though, that I'm very grateful to come across, and to find that Course in Miracles has picked me up right along the way. And this is what I'm calling impersonal enlightenment. It's an awareness that follows on after the personal awakening. Not necessarily. You can get really messed up if you find impersonal first, which happens. I've seen it. But your house isn't in order and your personal life is a mess, but you have this sense, this larger sense of freedom, but you can't possibly live it, because your lower sense gets in the way and you still have these terrible personal fears that you follow and you feel like you don't have a choice. So it seems to be, just to me, helpful to do the personal enlightenment first. And I think that's Miracle Principle 7. It says miracles are everyone's right, comma, but purification is necessary first. What? What is this fine print right up here in page 3? It says I can have miracles, but yeah, in the end, it's good news. It's but because of what you actually are. So this other level of enlightenment has a bigger reach. It's all over the book. You know, you see it. And that is non-person, non-individual, where I recognize that Andrew is a character in a dream of a world. And some sliver of spirit that I really am is invested in managing Andrew. And Andrew in the current form won't survive, but the spirit laugh when Andrew goes and maybe do it again and again and again. I have a horrendous sense I've done this many times. And it's really great. as horrible as it has become from time to time. And I've been blinded. I've been paralyzed. I've fallen from heights just to catch myself at the last minute. I mean, I've had some pretty crazy things, personal things with people that it's just jagged. My neighbor said, anyway. But I think, anyway, there's a personal awakening that gives you a sense of freedom in your skin. And then there's an impersonal awakening, which I'm going to throw out another big word, doesn't mean anything. It's just a stair step. It is transcendence. The whole thing looks something like this. You gain, let's call it understanding. You open your eyes to an idea. You have an understanding of how things could be better. You start to believe it, but you don't own it. So the understanding at some point through practice, through sitting, meditation, maybe with good friends, maybe you join a sangha. Sangha means a group of people that are the same thinking, same mind. And that pulls you along and you adopt your understanding. and you recognize your understanding is actually your truth. Now you're moving from what was only a belief one step up. You've gone now from a concept, you've gone one step up. And the understanding now brings an awakening. Very personal. Very, very personal. Your self, who was imprisoned in a small set of limitations, suddenly light comes through, your eyes open, and you say, wow, I don't have to, for example, get so angry. Don't like it, I'm going to stop it. And you go, oh, it was kind of silly that I got so angry, for example. And you live that way, and it becomes you. So you have now had an awakening. It was through a miracle. Miracle's a shift in perception about something. You saw something as an illusion, which is not as it appeared, and you walked through it. You walk through the fear, you walk through the relationship, you walk through the self-doubt, you walk through the anger, you walk through limitation. You had an awakening. So you went from concept to, through understanding, to an awakening.
And that's transcendence?
Nope. Nope. The awakening doesn't own it. The awakening sees it and lives it. And so you have now some freedom. But now it's a better life. The awakening brings a better life, a better living. You're more peaceful. You have a larger sense of harmony. You're patient. You're compassionate. You're understanding. All these wonderful things that you might find through, you know, something like Buddhism. But then there seems to be more. The heart in you that has become open, because it wasn't always suffering from the struggling little Albert or Tim or Jacqueline or Ross or Luann or Andrew. That heart seems to have more to open. And so your seeking moves on. And there becomes a moment, a further awakening that seems to go beyond the body and the body's experience. This is a transcendence. It's very natural. I suppose most of you have had at least a moment of this, if not a lot of them. It is what a holy instant is. You may not have known what it was or what to call it or to recognize it, but it's natural because it's just as miracles are natural. You can't keep the free bound. You can't keep the large appearing small. You can't keep that which exists in eternity, in time, and so on and so forth. And so a transcendence is not something that you accomplish like the personal enlightenment is. You navigate better with personal enlightenment. The transcendence is an undoing. And you find something bigger when you simply disavow the limits. Naturally and honestly. It comes in wonderful moments of presence. Presence. What's presence? Stepping out of time. Somehow, your mind drops out of time. And you find a spaciousness and a fullness, and you're still there. It's not about your body. It's not in regards to the body. A transcendence. This is impersonal. This is impersonal. This no longer had to do with a person. And so I've stepped away from Andrew, and I just got so much a bigger context. It's very empowering. It's very empowering. Ross.
So I think one of the temptations for me is to start comparing and defining it. And I have to stop myself because I've been told by other teachers that, and I just know that it's a very personal journey.
Thank you.
And your journey isn't going to be my journey. I have my ego has its tricks that it's going to play on me. And one of them is that it's so tempting to, oh, well, I must not be on the right path because I'm not experiencing what Adyashante is experiencing. I'm not experiencing what XYZ teacher is experiencing or Jesus experienced. Yeah. And it's not that at all. Your journey is going to be super, as I think you said, personal.
Yes.
But the danger is that you start comparing and defining. Oh, well, yeah, I had this experience of freedom, but it wasn't oneness. So it must not have been real.
Very good, Ross.
Discounting. Like I've had experiences of just being blissful to the point where I just wanted to just stay. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to do anything because mm-hmm. it was just this bliss that went on for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And to discount that and say it wasn't a real experience would be a sad mistake.
Yes.
Because that was something super powerful.
Yes.
And nobody else might have that experience.
Nobody else, not even Jesus.
But it's my journey
right.
back to where I already am.
So right.
That's the way it looks for me.
There's a Sufi story that details this as, you know, all of us are like birds in a harbor in the north, way north. And as it gets colder and colder and the boats go in and dock and there's not so much food easy to get in the harbor, we have to venture out, not only just for food, but for warmth. It's too darn cold. So we are all these birds, all of us. Ross is a bird. I'm a bird. Jacqueline's a bird. And then we fly out of the harbor. Off we go. Right? It's winter. Some of us take flight, find a jet stream, go high, like follow Tim. We're like, how far can we go? Tim says, keep going. Oh, looks okay. Keep going. And off we go. Others find this big eddy that's only a few miles south. And it's just like tall trees that lean over. And there's a pizza restaurant with food that gets thrown out every single day. And there's enough heat from the vent that, you know what? I'm just going to stay here a few miles south of the harbor. Didn't even go down. Tim's in Florida, sun shining. There are fish on the surface of the water. You can pluck them out. It's like, man, how could you ever? This is so great. Each of us so different. Each of us exactly different, as Ross was saying. Each of us exactly different. And then as it turns and the summer gets so warm and long, We start to hunger to go home. We snowbirds hunger to go home to our home, the harbor up in Maine. And so naturally, we turn. And all of us who read A Course in Miracles and every spiritual seeker has made a turn, at least thinking about home. If not actually flying, taking wing. And I say, if you made it through this workbook, and if you've gone back and said, I think I better do that again, you're flying. You are flying home like one of these birds. No two trips are the same. Some will fly for what seems like lifetimes, trying to find that jet stream, trying to get that air current that brought them down to bring them back. It's a long, high journey. Others will say, I've had enough pizza. And one flight, one evening's fly, a couple miles north, right back into the harbor, and the boats are starting to come in, and fishing boats are there. You're like, wow, that wasn't bad. Still a journey. You were away from home, and you've flown back. And there are no two the same. There can't be two journeys that are the same. There cannot be to anything that's exactly identical. If there was, you'd have dualism. if any two things were identical, you would have two. You would have dualism, and we know that dualism is essential to A Course in Miracles is not true. There are no copies. There are no copies in unity. There are no copies in unity. So yes, very, very personal. Each one is different. Don't compare. No need to compare. That's like saying one rose is better than another rose. Really? It's so limited, right? Yeah. So tonight, we're going to look at an interesting paragraph in A Course in Miracles where he calls out your own personal journey and your own creativity, if you will, to find your way back to the harbor. To find your way through, weed your way through personal enlightenment, make your life tolerable. Finding yourself tolerable, being able to get along with other selves without attacking them. That's personal enlightenment. To this wonderful, wonderful, way expansive. And it doesn't, tonight's paragraph doesn't talk much about this transcendence, but I thought you all would like to hear it and talk about it. There are other places it does. It's not the curriculum of A Course in Miracles, the transcendence part. It's in here a lot. But I think the real burden of A Course in Miracles is for you to discover the power of your mind to actually be at peace, even though the world has gone awry. And that's enough. That's enough to get the bird turned back, to empower you to go back home where you really be happy among like-minded creator minds, spirit, away from the sick idea of actually identifying with the body. So, with that as an introduction, let's see what falls out. And Jacqueline, if I got your mute, would you go to page 469 and read for us paragraph 5?
Your sight was given you along with everything that you can understand. You will perceive no difficulty in understanding what this vision tells you, for everyone sees only what he thinks he is. And what your sight would show you, you will understand because it is the truth. Only your vision can convey to you what you can see. It reaches you directly without a need to be interpreted to you. What needs interpretation must be alien, nor will it ever be made understandable by an interpreter you cannot understand.
So it's lots in here, but first I want you to take a look at sentence 4. Only your vision can convey to you what you can see.
Oops.
It's kind of good news and bad news, right? We just finished reading 20 pages ago that you are responsible for what you see and what you think and what you feel. He's following this up. It's good news and bad news. It depends on whether you're working with personal enlightenment. First of all, ego. If you're dealing with ego, personal enlightenment, and then finally transcendence to impersonal enlightenment, your awakening to spirit. But by the way, that transcendence is you move out of the material fixation into spirit. You discover the flexibility of spirit. The personal enlightenment is you discover that you can be free among material limits. The transcendence is you actually identify with spirit. And you find out that you can, it's just a different type of freedom. It transcends the limits. And it's, anyway, it is what it is. Okay, so I'll read it again. Only your vision can convey to you what you can see. Next sentence, your vision reaches you directly. Without a need to be interpreted to you. In the personal enlightenment of managing a special relationship, you kind of have to interpret everything and get along and get the Holy Spirit to weigh in and be patient, really work on being trusting, work on being tolerant, recognize people are different. And that just because it's not how you would do it, there still is a call for love there. And it's just as strong as yours. It's a beautiful thing. It's a holy relationship, right? You can translate the material limits of a personal being, living existence, translate that to something more peaceful and wonderful. Do it. It's great. Only you can. It will not happen to you. You will go around and around with your addiction to a body, to being a separate little piece that has to fly its way home. This is what you believe you are. Nobody, there's no power, not even God, could come change that, because that is you extending the power of God to being a little bird that's not home. Do you see? It's what you've chosen with this creative power. It's infinite and eternal. So you'll keep it a long, long time. That's good news and bad news, but mostly it's good news. As the Course says, just a short sentence, you can't give it up as easily as you made it up. But it also says, what you believe is true for you. And it's repeated here in this paragraph. It's in sentence three. And what your sight, not capital letters, right? And what your sight would show you, you will understand because it's the truth. It's a truth to you. Very tricky threading of the needle here. That's why I say this is quite the metaphysical opening for us to discuss. If you want to go there. You creator you. You creator, maker of your own existence. And did you ever notice this? You live your next thought, but only every single time. Did you ever notice that? That's why the Course says, let's go back there real quick, because it's kind of thing you should be very familiar with. It's in your book. Go back to page 448 just for a minute. Hold your finger here. We'll come right back. How could this Course in Miracles say this so quickly and then move on? I don't know. It's a good thing we meet here and talk about it and slow this book down so we can really receive the gifts that are here. It's a good thing we meet. Look at paragraph 2. I mean, the whole section is so rich, but we already went through it. So we're just going to stick to paragraph 2, maybe 2 and 3. So, Tim, would you read for us paragraph 2?
This is the only thing that you need do for vision, happiness, and release from pain and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations. For here the power of salvation lies.
You know, and we probably didn't spend enough time on that particular sentence, but we will now just for a moment. Listen to what he just read. There's a but in there. And when the word but comes up in conversation, you should really pay attention because it's an interrupter. And it says, here's what I really need to say. For example, Jason, I'm really glad that you joined the meeting tonight, but what am I going to say that's going to cut this guy or ask something of him or surprise him? Or I tried to soften it by saying it was nice you came to the meeting. And then I put in this little interrupter, but...
And I go, oh.
Oh.
There was candy, but not so much. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like your boss says, you know, we're going to pay you, but what? Just pay me, but what? Well, you have to do these things, and if they're all done on time, and we make the quarter, and there's money left, then we'll pay you. Okay, but is the same thing in the ego world as well as in the Course of Miracles and in delivering any news. It's a record scratch when it says but. So what Tim just read is say only this, comma, but if you ever wonder why you're not getting any traction, it's because you missed the but. Mean it with no reservations. Oh, it's just a few words. But Course in Miracles is, means what it says. I haven't found any words in this book that were fillers or not direct to the point. I found some metaphors because it was just too impossible to go straight at it with an ego mind, but mean it with no reservations. And then he even gives you why he says this. For here, when you mean it with no reservations, the power of salvation lies. Not salvation. You have to discover the power that you have to save yourself from suffering and from the limits. You have to discover that. That's what salvation is. Salvation is not some gift. It's not some big awakening where you get transported. It's that you get to own the power that you already have. You find out that you're not a body. You find out you are actually free. And then you own that you're still as God created you. That's salvation. That true, that being true, that with you owning it, meaning it with no reservations, hello, you have arrived. You're free. You're free to play. You're free to forgive. You're free to save the world. Okay, Tim, rock it.
I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings that I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear.
What?
Yeah. I see a lot of I's and me's in the italics section. I'm not faulting it or saying it should be different. I'm just noticing that those are usually red flags for ego when you talk about that. And yet there they all are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I is there 7 times in 5 lines. And then there's a me for good measure. What do we do with that?
So I, that one letter, when it applies to you, represents either the single largest concept you can behold or the single smallest thought you can have. That one letter. Right?
That's different, at least for me. Thank you. Ross was talking about how no two of us go the same exact journey, nor especially should we. And in fact, it can't happen. Mm-hmm. Or doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I was chuckling because I've got this astronomy thing behind me. I just came from a meeting about astronomy with the physicists. And we were talking about the fact that no two particles can occupy the same space at the same time. It's called the Pauli exclusion principle. It's why you get things like neutron stars. You know, they just can't collapse anymore. They're not allowed to be the same particle occupying the same space at the same
time. Cool.
So this is the Course in Miracles version of the Pauli exclusion principle. And I was thinking, gee, okay, that's my filter. Don't share it then. But I mean, finally, the thought keeps going around inside.
It's very cool. Yes, that's right. That's right. If two particles could occupy the exact same place at the exact same time, you would have duality.
Yeah.
And you could prove it. Look, there's two of them. They're exactly the same. There's no other way to tell them apart. Can't you see that the differences in the hands of the ego make separation, but those exact same differences in the hand of the spirit prove unity?
Very cool.
Different leaves on a tree. All the leaves make up the canopy of the tree. One tree. Many leaves. Wow. One tree. So here this metaphysics is introduced up here. And yes, Tim, the I it's talking about could not possibly be the manager of, what are you, 175 pounds of meat and fat and bone? Can't be the manager of that, the strict body, mind, is a victim, not responsible for weather. You're not responsible for how fast your fingernails grow. Come on. Responsible. So he's not talking about that, is he? No. And I'll tell you, he takes out his hammer, takes out his teaching hammer, and he hits the lesson on the head about 7 more times in a row. Albert, would you read for us the next, unmute yourself and then read for us the next paragraph and watch Jesus say, look, I mean it. And this is your freedom. This is introducing to you the power of salvation. It isn't salvation. That's for you. That's your personal journey. But it shows you the power you have. Albert, paragraph 3.
It is impossible the Son of God be merely driven by events outside of him. it is impossible that happenings that come to him were not his choice. His power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which he finds himself by chance or accident.
Wow. Albert, could you reread that sentence just to slow us down a little bit?
His power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which he seems to find himself by chance or accident. No accident nor chance is possible within the universe as God created it.
So you take a miracle to be able to get out of the chance and accident, but it's exactly what he's saying that you have the power to do. In this short little few sentences, these circular sentences, he's showing you the power that is already given you in your creation. In absolute terms, no chance or accident is actually possible. Please continue.
No accident nor chance is possible within the universe as God created it, outside of which is nothing. Suffer and you decided sin was your goal. Be happy and you give the power of decision to him who must decide for God for you. This is the little gift you offer to the Holy Spirit. And even this he gives to you to give yourself.
You see the beautiful circle, which is the essential teaching of A Course in Miracles. As you give, you receive. You are a creator. You are an extension of creation in your true self. There it is, right there in those sentences. This is a little gift. Which one? The choosing to be happy, for example. This is a little gift that you offer to the Holy Spirit, capital letters, Spirit, though. Spirit. Remember, I talked about transcendence a moment ago. Transcendence is a movement and awareness of Spirit. So now you're offering this to your Holy Spirit. And even this, he gives to you to give yourself. So you must already have it. And yet you have to give it to yourself. By giving it to him, which is given to you to give yourself. See that tight little circle? This is the way you go back up the spiral staircase, I would call it. Back into the light. Out of your addiction to being alone and a victim, and listening to the unholy spirit, which is a spirit also. Don't mistake it. The ego is also a spirit, but it's an unholy spirit. It does quite good at it. Equally good. Please continue.
For by this gift is given you the power to release your Savior, that he may give salvation unto you.
Man, another circle.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm kind of reminded that somewhere in the book here is divine salvation is the realization that the truth is true.
And the other half of that sentence, remember? I'll remind you. The truth is true, comma, and nothing else is true. Period. Next sentence. This is the hardest lesson you will ever learn. Good, Albert. Hang on to that. Hang on to that. It's a wonderful, freeing thing to remind yourself that the book says that simple sentence. The truth is true. What a ridiculous sentence. Of course the truth is true. That's why we call it the truth. No, Albert says, no, the truth is true. It means something to Albert. It means the hook is set. You got it. He says that part, and that's on page 272, by the way, in case somebody wants to go there. I don't think we have time tonight. We don't. I'd love to. It's one of my favorite pages in the whole book, chapter 14. But he says you get that. The truth is true. That's easy because the truth is true. He says, but what's harder for you to understand is that nothing else is true. Your little favorite hatreds, your little personal private victimhoods that you have that you think are out of the reach of God, you think those are true. God is love, okay, but I got this problem that just won't go away, and I'll never be able to let it go. Next, you think something else is true other than the truth. Yes. Anyway, we'll come back to that again and again for as long as I'm teaching the class, because the wonderful metaphysics it offers and starkness that it's just printed in your book, that you, so you don't forget where we're going with this, that you would read that and celebrate and get, one day, if not already, and you would say, thank goodness it's in my hands. I am loved. Yes.
I just glanced at the 272, and of course I heard it being read, and then it made me think right away about where you've been taking us over and over on page 463. And the final line is, and do I want to see what I denied because it is the truth? Because truth is true. You know what? That's why I want to see it. Because
right. Right. It feels so good to be driven by the truth. Once you taste it, once you feel the freedom and have the idea that you actually can abide by the, listen to the truth, operate by the truth, hunger for the truth, be freed by the truth.
And I find it comforting to find the course consistent. You read something on page 272, you jump almost 100, 200 pages, and there it is. In just a slightly different verbiage, you know.
Yeah.
And so that consistency, that makes me feel confident in saying, yes, the truth is true, and this is a really distilled form of it. Let me grab on and see what I can make of it, you know, in my own journey.
Well said, Tim. It's exactly the kind of convincing I needed for me to get out of my little struggling separate self individual to get into a bigger picture. And this book offered it just that way. It was so consistent, touched my mind and my heart at the same time. And I took a risk and opened my mind using this material. Lucky
you. No, Andrew.
Yeah.
I was listening to Gary Renard today. And he made the comment that the text is 6 pages. It's just done 11 times. So that we can reread it and get different values from it each time that we read it. Like when you read it a year later or 2 years later,
yeah,
the paragraph could mean something totally different to wherever you are in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Amazing. Amazingly true how that is. Okay, back to page 469. And let us go through paragraph 5 again. This time, Luann's going to read it for us. I got your mute, Luann. Read us paragraph 5, would you?
Your sight was given you. Along with everything that you can understand.
Didn't we just read about something being given you to give yourself after you give it to the circle, right? Please continue.
You will perceive no difficulty in understanding what this vision tells you. For everyone sees only what he thinks he is.
Wow, another circle. Sees only what he thinks he is. So you are responsible for what you see and what you think and what you feel, and you're being reminded right here, right now. Please continue.
And what your sight would show you, you will understand because it is the truth.
Take it or leave it, love it or hate it, it is what you can afford.
Only your vision can convey to you what you can see. It reaches you directly without a need to be interpreted to you. What needs interpretation must be alien, nor will it ever be made understandable by an interpreter you cannot understand.
So I want to impress upon you again that when you become aware of the truth, when you have spiritual exposure or awakenings to the spirit of the truth, you know it before you can say it. In the world, in the ego, you really have to work things out, analyze, measure, practice, and be able to say it before you could know it. Not with the truth. Because the truth is true. It's true already. It's true in you. You recognize it literally, recognize what you've already known. And so look how that's elucidated here in sentence 5 that she just read. It reaches you directly without a need to be interpreted to you. This is how you can celebrate as you accept the truth is alit on your mind, even though you don't have the perfect words to put it out. In fact, you start trying to put it into words. If you try too hard, you may move right beyond it, away from it, sideways. And you kind of wonder what was it you even experienced? That's why it's good to go into a silent contemplation where you're not talking to somebody or trying to record it. And you just allow your Holy Spirit to work with your awareness. And you learn to, it's a new type of feeling, I call it recently. It's a new kind of feeling, the truth, versus the, you know, earning a knowledge in the world. You kind of earn your way to knowledge here, because then you can speak it, memorize it, describe it. It's nice and all, but it doesn't have the personal awakening impact, far-reaching power that, sometimes we call it wisdom. Wisdom goes beyond the knowledge that seems to be applied.
It's kind of like you know it's not right when it's not right.
Yeah, you know exactly what, but it's like this intuition thing. Yeah, you got it. You know before you can say. Yeah. And Karen, okay, now that we've discussed, thank you, Luann. We need to read this paragraph one more time. Now that we've discussed that you get this sense about you, and this sense is the highest you personally can reach, and that's what is true for you. You before we read this again, I want to have Jesus weigh in with one more paragraph, mind-bending paragraph in this book that helps illustrate that you are on a journey of awakening and you are shedding layers of block. You're shedding self-imposed limits that they need to be shed in order for you to transcend. Let's read this one more paragraph since we're in mind-bending mode. Hold your finger here. Turn into the workbook and somewhere around page 300. It's page 298 in the workbook. Full inch away from where you are now to the right. Okay. We need to pick up a couple sentences here without getting too distracted in all this delicious discussion that's on this page, but it's exactly what we need to see. So we're going to start with paragraph 2. Jason, would you start? I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 2?
Sure. You have received all this. No one who walks the world but has received it. It is not this knowledge which you give, for that is what creation gave. All this cannot be learned. What then are you to learn, to give today? Our lesson yesterday invoked a theme found early in the text. Experience cannot be shared directly in the way that vision can. The relationship that the Father and the Son... The revelation that the Father and the Son are one will come in time to every mind.
Wow, you spilled the beans right there. Yeah. The revelation that the Father and Son are actually one. Yeah, don't worry. No big deal. Comes in time. Go ahead.
Yet is that time determined by the mind itself, not taught?
Starting to see a circle there again.
I thought we got some of what we're going to get.
Yeah. Okay, Ross, would you read for us the wonderful paragraph 3? I got your mute. Go for it.
Yet is that time.
The time is set already. It appears to be quite arbitrary. Yet there is no step along the road that anyone takes but by chance. It has already been taken by him, although he has not yet embarked on it.
What kind of crazy talk are you reading, Ross? Are you sure you read that right? It sounds like Ross misread that sentence. It must be, what? No, you got it right. Ross, read again.
The whole thing?
Yeah, read the whole thing again.
The time is set already. It appears to be quite arbitrary. Yet there is no step along the road that anyone takes but by chance. It has already been taken by him, although he has not yet embarked on it. For time but seems to go in one direction. We but undertake a journey that is over, yet it seems to have a future still unknown to us.
This is pretty advanced discussion for somebody who rises and sleeps and gets up to go to work by the clock. But there's more. Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us the next paragraph?
Time is a trick, a sleight of hand, a vast illusion in which figures come and go as if by magic. Yet there is a plan behind appearances that does not change. The script is written. When experience will come to end, your doubting has been set. When experience will come to end, your doubting has been set.
Read it one more time, but this time, Deborah, really, really punch that when.
When experience will come to end, your doubting has been set. Would you interpret that? That's just...
Yes. Listen to it this way.
Okay.
When experience will come to end your doubting, comma, has been set. When experience will come to end your doubting, has been set. Not arbitrary, not chaotic. There appears to be a when, because time is a trick, it's a sleight of hand, and from a transcendent perspective that sees the merry-go-round, that you think the merry-go-round is a straight line, but Jesus says, oh my God, you're going around and around, you don't even see it. Right?
Maybe if you just change the order of the words and just say, take it out of Yoda speak, Experience will come to end your doubting, and the time has been set.
Yeah, good, Ross.
You read it like that, it's English, but yeah. He speaks in iambic pentameter.
Right, he's probably had to jumble the words to make the poetry work. Very good. Yeah. But yeah. Also slows your butt down when you're reading it, and you got to really look at it until you go, wow, I get it. I see what Jesus is trying to say. Tim.
Set by whom?
Say again?
The time that you will experience.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is set. Set by whom? By me?
Yes.
By the Holy Spirit?
Okay, by the dreamer of the dream. You see, Tim is a character in the dream that Big Tim is dreaming. And so, of course, the one who made time itself, that's the architect, the big you. And what we're doing is we're having you awaken from the little you to the big you.
But the big you is the architect of time. Time is an illusion. Why would the big Tim create time and thus a need to create an end to the experience of time?
First of all, he didn't create it. Careful use of words now. Create means permanent.
What did you say? Exactly.
Made it.
I get it right.
He would say made time. Why would the creator make time? You can say that. Why would a creator son? Why would an extension of creation make time? Now that's okay. That's a good quandary. And it's a wonderful one.
So the key word that you changed was creator to make.
Make. Create is permanent. Make is an assembly of what already exists. It's an attempt. It comes and goes.
Make is temporal.
Okay. Temporal. Yeah. Of this level. Yeah. Good.
At this level.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Good. Good. Very good quandary. Again, it's worth pursuing. And you'll find out it's quite good news. It's not bad news.
This is me chasing down the details in my own brain.
Absolutely. Bring it on, buddy. Absolutely.
It helps everybody.
It helps everybody.
Thank you. It helps me to know that it's useful to others.
I've been to Course in Miracle meetings where they just read through something like this and then go to the next one. I go, what? How can you? That's why I started my own meeting.
I'd be out of there in short order.
I just, there's so much. You can't just go to the next lesson.
Because the real mind bender is, it's my the mind. So the big Tim has only one mind and it includes everything. Yeah. Jesus is in there. The Holy Spirit, universal inspiration, is in there. God is in there.
Oh, my God.
All in there as ideas.
Wow.
So, of course, everything is made up in your mind. And you're just experiencing what's in your mind. Everything.
But isn't it also true that the big I, which isn't Tim, it's one, created in a dream all of us.
Yeah.
And so in the dream, he also said when I was going to be transcendent and when you were going to be transcendent and when so-and-so was going to be transcendent, it was all that. And there's no such thing as time, so it doesn't really matter when we are because it's already been done already anyway.
Matters to you.
It matters to me because that's part of the dream.
Aha. Aha. Maybe we have an answer to Tim's question right there. Folks, there is no sin, okay? There's no unforgivable mistake. The only thing that could be possibly called a mistake is for you to think this is all you are. That's the one thing we need to correct. Nothing else is a problem. It's a blast. Creative exercise. And it does not stop here. It didn't start here. And you don't even know how much fun you're having. taken it way too seriously. You got way too small, and you managed to close the box, the lid of the box behind you, and then you think it's dark. Yep. Just like that.
Excuse my shimmering image. I'm clearly having trouble identifying with my body.
Tim's about to lighten right out of the planet. Oh, isn't that great? Okay, so that was mind-bending. I'm going to get you back now to page 469, and we're going to read the same paragraph after now having that beautiful description from Jesus out of lesson 158. Black and white, it's in your book. He said it 100 pages earlier, and he says it those 300 pages later. He says it again and again. When you can take it, when you can hear it, it's here. Part of my goal tonight is that you have some comfort that this is waiting for you when you're ready to see these words as just great news. Thank you for reassuring me that the truth is true and nothing else is true. I mean, this is... Okay, here we go. Let's have Jacqueline. I got your mute. Would you read for us on page 469 of the text, paragraph 5?
Your sight was given you along with everything that you can understand. You will perceive no difficulty in understanding what this vision tells you, for everyone sees only what he thinks he is. And what your sight would show you, you will understand because it is the truth. Only your vision can convey to you what you can see. It reaches you directly without a need to be interpreted to you. What needs interpretation must be alien, nor will it ever be made understandable by an interpreter you cannot understand.
So, therefore, upgrade your thinking. Open your mind. Learn from whatever path you can. I highly recommend A Course in Miracles as the quick way to bring more truth into your mind. And then you won't need interpretation. When the Course says, for example, fear is a call for love in an unconscious recognition of what has been denied. Fear is a call for love in an unconscious recognition of love that's been denied. Page 217, paragraph 13. That kind of thing would just make you jump for joy because it just explains so much. And now forgiveness is so instant in your heart. Compassion is born for when you see somebody else suffering and in fear, or recall yourself being in fear. You can reinterpret it as a call for love, honestly. Now it's beautiful. It was so ugly before. The fear. Now it's so beautiful. Jacqueline, continue and read for us paragraph 6, will you?
Of all the messages you have received and failed to understand, this course alone is open to your understanding and can be understood. This is your language. You do not understand it yet only because your whole communication is like a baby's. The sounds a baby makes and what he hears are highly unreliable, meaning different things to him at different times. Neither the sounds he hears nor the sights he sees are stable yet. But what he hears and does not understand will be his native tongue, through which he will communicate with those around him and they with him. And the strange, shifting ones he sees about him will become to him his comforters, and he will recognize his home and see them there with him.
That's because the script is written and you are part of the script. Now, look at the next paragraph for how this gets applied. Tim, would you read for us? I got your mute. Paragraph 7.
I'm sorry. Page?
We're on page 470 in the text.
Got it.
And now we're going to apply, we're going to see how this taking responsibility for your thoughts and possibly even raising your understanding to a larger perspective can be felt in the world, even in your special relationship, as a healing, a coming together. Tim, go for it. Paragraph 7, page 470.
Got it. So in each holy relationship is the ability to communicate instead of separate, reborn.
And you might even read that like it was a story. And so, in each holy relationship is the ability to communicate instead of separate, reborn. How so? It's because you will start to own this very same language that seems to be foreign to you, but you're speaking from where? From oneness. You learn that your fear, your anger, your all these things that were so ugly, they are actually driven by care, by heart, and by love. You just misunderstood it. And when somebody else is angry and fearful, they are driven, now you see, by love. It's just been misunderstood. They are not upset for the reason they think, and you know it. Fear is a call for love, and you know it. So now your Holy Spirit can reinterpret all the wrong words into the right feeling. That's how, in each holy relationship, the ability to communicate instead of separate is reborn. Tim, please continue.
Read in a more story-like fashion, yet a holy relationship so recently reborn itself from an unholy relationship, and yet more ancient than the old illusion it has replaced, is like a baby now in its rebirth. Still in this infant is your vision returned to you, and he will speak the language you can understand. He is not nurtured by the something else you thought was you. He was not given there, nor was received by anything except yourself. For no two brothers can unite except through Christ, whose vision sees them as one.
Whose vision sees them as one.
So,
this is the, oh, Ross, go ahead.
So the last sentence, except through Christ, whose vision sees them as one. So there's, I was going with, well, let's bring it up a level, which he does in the last sentence. But to me, it's like, well, wait a minute. If I'm seeing this holy relationship, there's a relationship there. Well, wait a minute. What about seeing it in my mind, as I was talking about? It's all in my mind. I'm attempting to project it out. I'm attempting to project this other out that I have to reinterpret the relationship from a special one to a holy one. But in reality, I could see it as, no. It's in my mind. I projected that out. I projected it out to have my guilt out there so I could see it. So why not just take it to that last step and see it through Christ and say, oh, no, that's my guilt. That's my fear that I'm trying to project out. It's still in me. So why not just interpret it that way?
And you
I guess
know
why? It just depends on what level you want to think on, what level you want to talk on.
You would need a miracle to do that.
Sure, why not?
Honestly. But that's exactly right, Ross. It's why it's A Course in Miracles. It's a unnatural healing that would take place to go from the anger and the burden of feeling guilty or assigning the freedom from assigning guilt to somebody else and not owning it at all to seeing it is one. That would take a miracle. It's exactly what it is. Ross, jump ahead and read for us paragraph 11.
Could I just say one thing about that?
Yeah.
What I think when I read that is what I know is Christ is all of us as one.
Yes.
So
as we were created by one, We remain one.
Right. So if we're going to accept through Christ, then we have to accept through that oneness.
And it's easy because the truth is true, as Albert was pointing out, and nothing else is true. Boy, you got to move your mind a little transcendent toward the spirit side of things to own this. But, of course, you can never go back once you breathe that easy air. And a little hint comes. Gross is going to read for us in the little time exactly that we have left. He's going to preview for us what we'll be studying in some weeks to come. Paragraph 11. Ross, go for it.
Christ comes to what is like himself, the same, not different.
See the circle? Now we're talking about a spiritual circle, because in the material, personal circle, things are obviously different. In the special relationship, they're not like themselves. They're just trying to cooperate. But when you go to the spiritual level, then you open this eye, vision opens, and you can see sameness. Please, Ross, continue.
For he is always drawn onto himself. What is as like him as a holy relationship? And what draws you and your brother together draws him to you. Here are his sweetness and his gentle innocence protected from attack. And here can he return in confidence, for faith in another is always faith in him. You are indeed correct in looking on your brother as his chosen home, for here you will with him and with his father. This is your father's will for you and yours with his. And who is drawn to Christ is drawn to God as surely as both are drawn to every holy relationship. The home prepared for them as earth is turned to heaven.
As earth is turned to heaven. A miracle indeed.
One thing that came up for me is it's always talking about a little willingness. Well, wait a minute. That's will. So there's only one will, and that's God's will. So if you have a little willingness, you're going a little bit towards God's will. And this is filled with wills, so it seemed appropriate.
I think if you have a little willingness, you have all the willingness.
Except I'll speak for myself. I have breaks in the willingness where, maybe just this once I'll do this ego thing.
Like an addict. Just like an addict trying to quit his pattern. I get it. What are you, Ross? You said you were drinking. You're in the bar. I had to use the bathroom.
Someday.
And it's free beer till 6. I'll quit tomorrow.
Even 99% isn't enough. So,
my God, it's hard. 99% is actually harder than 100. That 1%,
hanging on by a fingernail.
thank you, everybody, for taking on this task tonight in that paragraph. And some of the mind-bending paragraphs in your book that we pointed out. But I hope you're encouraged to transcend and know that you are flying. You are, everyone here is flying. You are on wing and you're going home. You're committed. Somehow, some way, you have tasted the freedom of transcendence by a holy instant here and a holy instant there. And you know that when it says you're not a body, somehow that acts true. You know. And that's why I say celebrate. You are in flight. And thank you for flying with me home. See you next week.
This was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. You.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody.
Felt so happy to cry.
Thank you, Luann. Thanks for your input. Thank you, everybody, for your sincerity.
I love you.